Here we are, February 20th. It's a Wednesday. I'm not going to fall asleep for at least 35 to 40 minutes. I promise to at least try not to. We are on part three, if my memory serves me correctly, and it might not. And we are looking at ignorant. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. But Paul is very clear that he teaches us. He talks to us about things that we do not need to be ignorant over. No reason to be. And even since I had talked about these before, a couple of years ago or whenever, whatever, I've realized that my ignorance over these particular issues has gotten even shallower or less or whatever. Continue to learn more. And all ignorance is just a lack of teaching. You just haven't learned it. You're uninformed, untaught. You know, nobody's taught it to you. And you don't have to have somebody teach this stuff to you. You can learn it yourself, which is my whole big premise or purpose for the website, or for me, is to teach somebody, just here's what the Bible says. Now, you know, you can read it, you can learn it. I've always said I'd like to have a Bible Institute, and we would just teach you how to read the Bible, rightly divide it, and save all the scholarship for the garbage pit, because you can't fight scholarship with scholarship anyway. You just give them based on faith, and you teach them how to rightly divide the Bible, and God will teach those guys, or ladies, whatever, what to learn, and get their lives all excited about a book. So, what we're just trying to do here is just pass on something I've learned from my reading or studying or just observations in life. Just reading from Paul. And I'll read the rest. I don't mind reading the rest of the Bible. I find it very interesting. And, you know, you see a lot of things exposed that you hear in churches today. And I wonder why they preach that stuff. It's just Old Testament stuff. And the Jews are blinded and they're not going to get it. So why teach that stuff again today other than for the knowledge of it, which is fine. Paul tells us to go back to the old writings as well and learn those things. But he does say, I think it's in 2 Timothy. Let me check it out here. 2 Timothy here. He says in chapter 2, the things that thou hast heard of me, that's Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Teach others what? What you've heard from Paul. So we're supposed to be passing on is this Paul stuff. And I hate it when they say Paul, the Pauline epistles. Sound like a lady, Pauline. No, these are Paul's epistles. These are Paul's writings. This is what the risen Savior has taught to us. And anyway. So, let's get going here. Part three. Let's look at I tell you, I really had fun with those last ones. Dig them up if you haven't heard them yet. Part one and part two. You know, especially about the Great Commission people, the regular church guys being wise in their own conceits and the stuff about righteousness, God's righteousness, and we, our mind wants to serve the law of God, not meaning the laws of God, but the law of God, the reality of God. But our flesh just wants to serve the law of sin. I mean, it's still there. It's still in us. And I still can't get over these people who think that somehow they've got the power these days to walk sinless, you know, and do all the right stuff. I mean, they can according to the scriptures, but according to them, they actually think that they're walking good enough to be blessed by God. So anyway, our blessings are spiritual blessings, fantastic things. Let's keep going here. Let's look to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This will take a little bit of explaining. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, that's not the one, that's 13, here we go. Now concerning spiritual gifts, there we go. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, let me make sure everything is running here. It looks like everything is going fine. Okay. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Well, there it is. So if this would be, by any chance, the first time you would be reading through Corinthians, you would already recognize, well, that sounds great, spiritual gifts, sure it does. Now, we know in Ephesians, for example, they got this Ephesians thing really quick like here. I think it's in Ephesians 1, actually. Talks about verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we know what the modern pastors talk about that verse. Spiritual blessings. Okay, so that's a good thing. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for example, you will see this whole part down there, 11, 12, 13, 14, that the Spirit of God is going to teach us things. And the lost world isn't going to understand it. Well, that kind of ties in with spiritual gifts. No, it doesn't. The problem here is people get into Corinthians and, you know, they say, well, Paul healed, Paul baptized, Paul did the Lord's Supper, communion, did all these things. So we get to something like 12. Well, see, 11 is your communion anyway. So why don't you want to take the communion? What's the matter with taking the Lord's Prayer? There's another one, Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's Supper, what's so complicated about that? Well, just read chapter 11 really slowly, and you will see that all Paul is doing is telling these guys what went on in the Last Supper. We want to call it the Last Supper. So he just tells them what they were told. They are not told to do this. I don't see it anywhere anyway. Sure, if you go to verse 20, we're bunny trading all of a sudden, you notice that. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Well, that's a fine verse to pull it out of context, but all Paul is doing is quoting what Christ told the apostles during that time. That's what he told to them. He's not teaching that to us. It's amazing. Because, for example, if you go down to verse 30 and 31 and 32, that if you partake of the Lord's Supper, where's the phrase here? Unworthily, then God can hammer you and chastise you and kill you if he wants to. And I've had pastors say to me, well, that's why people are dying in America, because they're not serious. You really think that's what's going on? Haven't you ever taken the Lord's Supper and kind of done it unworthily? Did you ever get all your sins confessed when the pastor says, okay, let's take a few moments and let's confess our sins. Let's get our heart right with God and let's get our sins confessed so we can partake of the holy offering this year. This isn't a Baptist King James church, you know. Partake of the offering, partake of the bread and the body of Christ. And, you know, it's like, man, this is Catholic. This is just so bogus. And did you ever get your sins not all confessed because the pastor only gave you about 20 seconds? Okay, now they have the ushers come forward. Wait a minute, I'm not done confessing. I'm having a bad day. And never got them done. Okay, Lord, forgive everything else I do. We got to get started on this Lord's Supper. The whole thing is just totally out of whack. But anyway. So we get to 12 and we see something else. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Well, okay, let's learn about these things, should we? Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. And we know he's not talking about dumb, meaning, you know, the slang term for junky stuff, you know. He says these are not, they're talking, they can't do that, you know, these are just statues, idols. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Well, can you say that? Jesus is the Lord? Well, then, see, you've got your salvation. You can only say that if you got this Holy Ghost, it says there. Really? No man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. I can understand that. I mean, you know, if you're really a Christian, why would you want to say something like that? But you know, you could mouth the words if you had to. I mean, you know. So we're getting into a spiritual realm here. There's so much stuff in Corinthians that take place before something. And yes, this did take place during the biblical times of Paul. It took place after the biblical times of Paul. Matter of fact, this stuff all took place up until that which is perfect has come. Because see, when that which is perfect has come, then that which was in part was done away with at that time. That's 1 Corinthians 13:10. So we got all these things happening. Well, what things are you talking about here? Well, let's look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Well, that's understandable. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Well, that's understandable. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Okay, that's not a complicated thing. Okay. Here we go. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay. And then he goes on and he lists these things, these gifts. For to no one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Ooh, sorry. For to one, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophesy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Wow, see, there you go. Ooh, sorry. There you have it. Spiritual gifts. And Paul's the one that teaches them. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 would do really well with Mark 16. You know, we got signs, we got, let's see here, we got healings, you know. And so you've got these different people. One guy's given the word of wisdom. He's just a man full of wisdom. Then you got somebody else who's just been given the word of knowledge. So this guy's a smart guy. Then you've got another guy that was given faith. Well, we know that we received the faith of Christ, but yes, according to verse 9, not everybody's received the gift of faith. See what they're saying here? So we're talking about two different things here. Somebody else has the gift of healing. Oh, where's he at? Then you've got another guy that's been given the gift as such of working of miracles. Another one's a good preacher, prophesy. There's another guy who's a good discerner of spirits. He just knows the good and the bad. He just knows that stuff. God gives him that. Another one, diverse kind of tongues. Oh, so speaking in tongues is okay? Well, sure, because it says here, to another, their interpretation of tongues. So, you know, God gives out the one that can speak in tongues, and he also gives the one who can interpret it. Well, then, the Pentecostals are right. No, they're not. It's wrong. See what somebody says here? No, it's not. What's the problem here? Get back my thoughts here. Well, this was all done in part. Well, we can go to verse 8 of chapter 13, which follows right after chapter 12. Hello. There shall be prophecies. They shall fail. So this guy that's been given the gift of prophecy, oh, his ministry is over with. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Oh, so this guy who was given diverse kinds of tongues, that ministry is over with. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So here's this guy in verse 8 of chapter 12. His ministry of knowledge is over with. Yes, well, I'm the minister of wisdom in our church. Ah, and I'm the minister of knowledge. Well, I'm the minister of faith. And I am the minister of healing in our church. I could do miracles. I could do miracles. I'm the prophesier. I preach here. Oh, I can tell between the good and the evil spirits. What did he say? Well, he said, what happened? Well, I don't know. It just kind of vanished away. I can't do this anymore. Right. Because, see, King James Bible came along the scene. Not the 1769, not the 2004 version, not the bishops, not the Matthew's Bible. This thing was put together, and 1611, this is the Word of God, and they can say what they want about it today with all these little printing oopsies and all these publishers trying to come up with all sorts of different reasons to doubt any Bible. So it has to be 1310. It has to be a Bible. And it has to be a King James Bible. If you're waiting for Christ to come on that second coming, which everybody says they're doing, then all this stuff in chapter 12 is still in effect today, which makes you a Pentecostalite, which means you believe people can do miracles. Everybody's got this gift in the church of either causing miracles or making miracles, whatever. There's a prophesier, there's a discerner of spirits, there's a tongue speaker, there's an interpreter. There's some people receive faith and some of them have not. Some are good with healing other people, and some people just have the right word of wisdom, and some people just have all the right knowledge. No, you know what we got here? We got a Bible. This Bible, this Spirit, the Word of Wisdom, for one is given by the Spirit, the Word of Wisdom. This Bible is my Word of Wisdom. This Bible is my Word of Knowledge. This is my knowledge right here. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. Healing. Physical healing? How about spiritual healing? How about mental healing? Can you heal a broken arm? Can you heal leprosy? Can you, you know, that kind of stuff? No, well... How about working of miracles? Let me tell you about some miracles that have come along since I've gotten a hold of this Bible. Did you get any spiritual miracles? Spiritual circumcision, we call it. You know, that's pretty miraculous. I received the faith of Christ. How do you do that? Well, I just do. It's just a miracle. Isn't that a miracle? Wow, that's totally a miracle. Well, there's miracles. Discerning of spirits. This Bible tells me whether it's rightly divided, whether it's the spirit of Christ or the spirit of man or the spirit of the Antichrist. When you're reading and comparing something, that's not too tough. Kind of tongues? What kind of tongues do you need? You need an English King James Bible. What about Spanish? They don't have one. How about French? They don't have one. How about Germans? Nein. Sie haben sie nicht ein Wort auf Gott. Unless and sie hören sie zu Englishonians. Well, how are these people supposed to get the truth? Well, come on. It's not that hard. You go to Romans chapter 10. That's not tough. How should they call on him whom they have not believed? How they should believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Go over there to King James Bible. Go to Germany and talk to these people. Show them this Bible is the Word of God. Your Martin Luther Bible, it was part of the process, but now it's kind of in the past. It's no longer part of the process of coming up with the final final product there. That was just perfect. It was close, but it wasn't close enough. So what did God do with those people back then when they didn't have a Bible? Just exactly what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He gave all these gifts to different people because they did not all have a Bible. It wasn't kaputched yet. It wasn't done. So God gives different people the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the faith, gifts of healing and miracles and prophecy and discerning of spirits and different kind of tongues and interpreting. So what's Paul talking about here? Well, he's talking to these people. This is what went on then. Because it sure doesn't take very long. But if we go back, notice I say back, to Romans chapter 12. Is it Romans 12 or is it Romans 8? It's Romans 12. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and let's see what Paul's really talking about now that we've got the book, now that we've got these other things that were done in part, now they're totally shut down, and we've got a Bible now. What are we talking about here? Well, we go to verse 6, for example. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Oh, so he's going to talk about gifts again? Yes, let's not be ignorant to the right gifts here. There's two different places Paul talks about gifts from God. Okay. Now, he says in verse 4, you know, let's just go up to verse 3, because that's a good introduction too. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Boy, I wish I could convince that, to get that that thought to ring in the ears of these kids here. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's an interesting statement. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we receive faith. We receive the faith of Christ. But I wonder if some don't receive more of it or less of it. I wonder if there's a problem in there. Well, let's keep reading here. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, okay, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. We're all part of a body here, okay? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Oh, so different people are, well, it's the same thing as in 1 Corinthians. No, it's not. Listen up to this one. Okay, 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, CY is like sky, prophesy, let us prophesy, there's a SY, prophecy, okay, sorry, I got that wrong, according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, there it is, SY, according to the proportion of faith. Well, how do you get your faith to grow? How do you get more of what Christ has for us for faith? Here, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. As you read your Bible, as you get stronger with your Bible, you're going to increase his faith. Sounds odd, doesn't it? Well, but you got to look at this stuff here. Got to read it slowly. This is what it's saying. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You read your book a lot, you study, you're rightly dividing, you can be a prophesier. You can put out some sermons, you can teach some stuff. Because you're getting it from your reading. Okay, how about a ministry? Or ministry? You know, ministry towards other people, our ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. Now, he's not talking about waiting around and just sitting on our duffers. When you wait on tables, you're not the waiter that's sitting in the back waiting. Yep, I'm waiting on these tables. They're going to do something here pretty soon. No, you wait on these tables. You get out and you deal with it. So when he says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Okay, so if you got a ministry, go do it. He that teacheth, okay? You know, some people are better teachers than others. I'm getting so sick and tired of people whining about a quote-unquote bad teacher. I've learned from bad teachers. It's not the teacher that makes it work. It's the students willing to learn, and are they teaching them a knowledge, or are they trying to teach them an understanding without having any knowledge? They're not going to get it. So you have to be a teacher. And Paul even says in Ephesians that we got pastors and teachers. One phrase, no commas dividing them. So I've really tried to be a preacher who teaches, and I try to be a teacher who preaches. Okay? Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. What do? We're waiting on our exhortation. It's a guy that can exhort on a subject and preach it. You know, keep going on, expand on that thing. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You know, the givers that have to, they've got to see the results. They've got to see some growth. They've got to see this. I'm not going to give them any money until I da-da-da-da. No, you're not giving it in simplicity at all. And you're probably miserable because you just can't do it. Some people are good at writing a check, and then they forget about it. Then here you go, you know, pastor, here you go somebody or neighbor, whatever. Write them the check, give them the cash, and you're okay with it. Not a big deal. Yes, we do need people like that. He that ruleth with diligence. You know you're not wishy-washy about it. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Some people just have a hard time showing mercy to somebody. You know that, what happened to them, they deserve that. And this is the body we're dealing with today. This is what Paul's talking to us today about gifts. Not speaking in tongues, not healings, not miracle-making. But the list in Romans 12. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Are some of you better at this than others? Are some of us better at this? Are some better on exhortation than others? Are some better givers than others? Are you doing more with simplicity? Maybe I should put it that way. More simple about your giving, or is it a real issue? Is it a real tough battle? Ministry. Do you have a ministry? Then do something with it, you know. Prophecy. Prophesy. Do you prophesy with your prophesying? Has your faith grown? Has his faith grown in you because you have read more of your Bible and you studied this thing? Does it increase your faith? Yes, it increases my faith. And yet, I think I actually believe it increases the faith he's given to me. How can you say that? Because this is what it says here. According to the grace that is given to us, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And if you read that Bible, faith cometh by hearing. I'm repeating myself. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God. I believe that his faith in us will even grow more because we're hearing from him more. Stands to reason. Makes sense. So, are we ignorant of the gifts? No, matter of fact, it makes total sense. But if it wasn't for that Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10, that wasn't for that King James Bible, we'd still be having all these miracle workers and these healers, and oh, wait a minute, we still do. Well, yeah, but then we get into Revelation 13 and Revelation 16 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we realize that it's the devil that's trying to do something to these miracles and healings. Can he do something like that? Well, sure he can. Matter of fact, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's go to verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, what is he talking about there? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay. I went to the wrong. Verse 11. So what are we talking about here? Let's go back and let's see here. It talks about somebody who... Paul is talking about the joy and the love that he has for everybody here. Then he talks about, up in verse 8 and 9 and 10, not forgiving somebody, you know, that kind of a thing. And if you don't forgive somebody, verse 11 says, so Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. What does that got to say? Well, it tells us that if we don't are not good at this forgiveness thing, the devil can have an advantage over us. Do you think we can be bitter and hateful towards people? Yeah, I fight that quite often sometimes with some people I know back in a different town. And that can get me a real attitude. So that must be an ignorant of the devil's device. Well, are we ignorant of his devices today? Well, if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, this is a hard one for people to get a hold of. But you know, one of the devices of Satan is a minister, is a pastor. Well, sure he is. He's not teaching rightly dividing. He's preaching and teaching profane and vain babblings. And if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. But they're not preaching the right righteousness. And if we go up to verse 14, we see no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So this concept of this red-horned devil isn't necessarily true at all, is it? This devil is pretty subtle. And if he's preaching and teaching a righteousness, why is that a problem? He's teaching some good things. Well, because Paul is quick to tell us that in Romans chapter 10, right? The people are ignorant of what? God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness. So what do you think the devil's going to teach? How to get their own righteousness getting better and better. The devil can teach people how to be a good person and keep them from God. And the devil tends to do gooder things than we used to think. We used to think the devil was this mean old character. Well, he is mean, but he's mean in a nice way to people. And I forgot to hook up this verse, so you do it real quick like here. I'll tell you what I think probably the biggest thing that the devil does. Hang on. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, Paul says, even I, Paul, once and again. We want to go back and see these people. But Satan hindered us. So, what's the device of the devil today? Anything that would keep people from hearing a rightly divided King James, Paul following Paul only Bible. That can be almost anything out there. Good. God could even bless you with some activities, with some finances and money and stuff. He'd do that. Devil could do that if he's going to keep you from reading your Bible, reading your rightly divided Bible. Going to keep you going to a church where they don't teach you rightly divided Bibles, but you're happier and your family's happier. You know what Satan's doing? He's hindering Paul from coming into your life. You think the devil doesn't like to have the Gospels taught? I don't think the devil has a problem with the Gospels being taught in church anywhere. Because that's a false Gospel being taught to people. I don't even think the devil worries about King James Bible people anymore. Because they're not rightly dividing. And if it's not rightly divided, it's profane and vain babblings. Can you babble and profane King James Bible? Well, sure, the Mormons do it. If they even talk about it at all. Just having a King James Bible in possession, it's not some magical book. You've got to read it, rightly divide it. Suddenly you become an enemy to the devil. How about music? Oh, music can be a huge detraction. I think this Sunday morning, I think we're going to skip the sermons, and I think we'll just play a lot of music Sunday morning. Oh, it's nice music. It'll relax you. It'll calm you down. Or we'll get you all fired up, you know, whatever. We'll play some, what's this guy's name? Dino. Played Fancy Schmancy Piano, and you got Jimmy Swaggart, and you've got, there's another guy. He's gone. I can't think of it. Williams, Ted. Not Ted Williams, but... can't see a lot of piano players out there. Fans. Let's just do that Sunday morning, and we'll do a sermon Sunday. What do you think? Is that okay? No, that's not okay. That's the devil using good music, actually. And how about Christian music? Is it some? What makes a song Christian music? Is it the sound? Is it the melody? Is it the fake instrumentation that you hear in like 90% of all Christian music? It's got all fake orchestras and stuff. What's with that? And besides that, did you know that the contemporary Christian music world has its own doctrine? They have their own statement of faith. Of course it's wrong. Ah, but you like the music. Is it really bad for Mark to be playing Mozart? Sousa? Or should we just be playing some hymns? Well, are the hymns that you sing, are they all doctrinally correct? What about all these songs that were sung 50 years ago with 25 and 30 verses? Now we've got 3 and 4. I mean, there's all sorts of different things you could go into here to see what the devil has done. And what's he doing? Is he trying to stop a King James Bible? He tried to stop it back in the Dark Ages. That didn't work. He had to stop it then. Why? Because that which is perfect was about to come about. Well, once it came about, he just had to keep people from rightly dividing that thing. Well, we had a bunch of rightly dividers, a bunch of Baptist guys come along and rightly divide based on the college they went to and the teacher. So the devil managed to win that one. But maybe we're kind of the diehards here. We're rightly dividing a King James Bible based on Paul's books, knowing, of course, that when Paul was doing healings and ministries like that, it was because there were Jews in the crowd, and a lot of that stuff was before the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10. And was he done with the Jews in Acts chapter 2? When did the church start? Here's a verse for you. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians 1, verse 6. You know, people say that Paul started the church in Acts chapter 2, and he started it in Acts chapter 8. No, he started it in Acts 13. No, he didn't start it till Acts 28. So they didn't really... that's not the one I want. I want Galatians 1, 22. That's what I want, verse 22. Well, here we go. That's quite a verse here, actually. Galatians 1, 22, talking about Paul was unknown by faith unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. So here's some people were in the churches of Judea. They were in Christ. They were in Christ before Paul came around. Are there two separate churches? No, there's not two separate churches. I, without a shadow of doubt, I believe the church, the opening, the starting of the church takes place back when Jesus is talking to Peter. Two different churches? How about different ways of being part of the church? I mean, during the Gospels, you want to be in Christ, okay? Then you have to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. How about in the Great Commission time? Well, they had to be baptized. Now, how about in Paul's time? Faith and trust. How about the tribulation? Obey the law and don't take the mark. And besides that, during the tribulation, the real body of Christ is going to be gone anyway. So they can lose their salvation in the tribulation. They can get it back, too. They can lose it. But if they take the mark, according to Hebrews chapter 6, they'll never get it back. You can't unmark yourself. So what are you talking about here? Talking about the confusion that the devil puts out there, because rightly dividing is the key to the whole thing. And the devil is going to do anything he can, everything he can, to hinder Paul coming into our life. Why? Because Paul is who the risen Savior went to, and Paul is the one that teaches us what the risen Savior taught to him to teach to us. So you want to hear from Christ directly? You go through a King James Bible, rightly divided, looking at Paul's books, which are written to us, and anything else is written for us. It's just too simple. But the devil's got to do an awful lot of good stuff with his ministers of righteousness. He's got to give us a lot of physical blessings so he can take us away from our Bible reading, from our listening to sermons and teachings, and getting the right idea when you're at work. And he tries to get people that are trying to be good Christians, he tries to get them to quit their work because they shouldn't be working in a place like that. And yet Paul says, listen, if you want to get away from the fornicators of this world, you got to leave this world. You got to do what you got to do at the workplace. Give your guy the time and do his job. And if you can't do it, then don't do it. But if you can, then do it. And it goes on. It goes on to the modesty stuff. It goes on to the things that are in Timothy about who's working where. You think the devil's going to be fighting? No, he's going to give every possibility he can for the ladies to have the top-notch jobs. Get the guy out of this. He get the guy home, Mr. Mom. Get him home with the kids. Goes against everything God taught. And if it does, it does, because of our lifestyle. We're in a sinful world, a cursed world. We can't expect a perfect physical blessing down here. It's not going to happen. How could God give you one job one day and 3 months later take it away from you? How about God giving you a country to go to and then 3 weeks later he changes his mind and sends you to another country? All this religious baloney. And that's what it is. It's just the devil and his devices trying to get us away from Paul. Okay. I think we'll leave it at that. We can finish it up on Sunday. What's left in this thing, I think that's enough to contemplate and to meditate and to workitate and thinkitate. Think about those things.